I don't know about you, but I'm excited today. I've got one or two friends, but that's all right. Like I said last week, I can get excited all by myself. I'm excited today because the Word of God is real. You know why the Word of God is real? The Word of God is real is because God is real. And if God is real and the Word of God is real, I don't know what else we need. Have I got any friends out there? What else do we need? And today, I'm going to just say something in just a moment before we get into the Word. But today I feel like one of those people that have gone to the king or the queen, got a hold of a message from the king or from the queen, Queen Elizabeth, and is getting ready to deliver it. Very important message from the king. Deliver it to the king's people. I feel a bit like that today. And whoever's listening online, because we've got lots of people missing, and I trust that they're online. I think last week there were more people online than in church, and probably the same this week. But if you're online, you know, I want you to receive it in the same spirit as those that are here today. You're about to receive a message from the king. Thank you to our worship team. Take your seats. Lord Jesus, help me. We're going to receive a message from the King. From the King. From the King. And I pray that you receive it as such. I really do. Because the way you receive the Word is the way that you are going to appropriate the Word. Okay? If you receive it and it touches the heart, then the heart touches the hands. If you don't receive it in the heart, it won't touch anything. You go out and say, another Sunday. See you next week. I pray that today is not see you next week. I pray that today, like every week, is life-changing. That's my prayer today. That's my prayer. And I want you to help me out, okay? Especially if you've taken that mask off, I want you to shout amen. Every now and then, I want you to shout hallelujah. If you've got the mask on, it doesn't matter. Just do it anyway. But you know, I was blessed this morning because, let me say something else first. Bernie Herman went to be with the Lord this week. And for me, it was a sad thing because I love the guy. But I know that he's with the Lord, so I'm happy about that. But I remember distinctly when he began to come to church some time ago, probably a couple of years ago. And he was a little bit, because we're in Peter, he was a little bit like Peter. When Peter had let Jesus down, and the Bible says that he was following from afar. How many remember that? He was following from afar, and Jesus was going through the whole trial and, you know, all that sort of stuff, and eventually got crucified and so on. But the Bible says Peter followed from afar. And Bernie was a bit like that. He was following from afar, and he'd come to church, he'd sit in the right at the back, the last chair. You know, he'd be really, really quiet, hoping nobody would talk to him, things like that. By the end of it, he was hugging everybody he could hug. I'm telling you, is that true or not? Is that true or not? We had his 90th birthday. We had a birthday cake, and he gave me a big hug. It was the best hug that I've I had in a long time. So you know, it's with sadness that he's gone. But you know, what a beautiful thing is that one day we're going to be reunited in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. How many know that's a beautiful thing? So let's keep the family in prayer. Let's keep Pastor Alan, Jenny in prayer. The whole family, and of course, in times like this, there's no best words to say. Sometimes less said the better. And let the Lord do His encouragement as well as our presence encourages people as well. Amen. Amen. Give me a good amen. Are you still alive, hello? Okay. Before we get into the Word, I got blessed this morning. I'll tell you why. in this blue piece of, not piece of, I was going to say piece of paper, in this blue bag, I've got some gold. And somebody says, well, give me some of that gold. It looks pretty heavy. I've got some gold because one of our young ladies was listening to the message last week. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Look what this says. It says here, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places or dry places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. We preached about that last week. And Aaron, you're an absolute champion. You've made my year. Stand up. Give it a good hand. So Aaron put that together for me. That's going up in my office. Thank you so much. I mean, you could have given me a trip to the Gold Coast or whatever. It wouldn't be as valuable as this. I'm telling you. Anyway, I'll probably preach about this everywhere. Some of those stories that Jesus did and he touched people's lives and he says, you know, this woman, this man, a nobody, they'll be talking about that person for the next 2,000 years. It's a little bit like that, Aaron. Come on, praise the Lord. All right. Are you ready? You know, I was going to preach this last week and I was ready to preach this last week, and as I said, everything came together with the message that I did last week. But on the back of what I learned in terms of my preparation last week, God just gave me some fresh revelation that I was just blown away. I'm telling you, I was blown away. And I just want to share from my heart today. Is that all right? I want to share some fresh revelation about the scripture that absolutely has blown me away. And I said to Louise, look, you know, can I share something with you? And she said, yes. And we got talking about it. And she says, oh, you know, that's amazing. And God is good. Because fresh manna has everything we need in it. And today we're going to get fresh manna that is with the lot. Amen? And you'll know what I'm talking about when we read the word. We're going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4 together. I'm probably only going to get through verse 3 alone, and we'll continue with verse 4. But let's have a look at this in a couple of versions, and it'll give us a little bit more perspective as we read the second version. Okay, so we'll read what we normally read. We're reading normally from the ESV, English Standard Version Bible. So 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. So we're going to read this together. It says this, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I want you to begin thinking about what we're saying as you're hearing the exposition of this word. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, verse 4, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promise, not just great promises. When God gives you something, it's not leftovers. It's not inferior. When God gives you something, it's the best. Amen? Very great promises. So that through them, the promises, you might become partakers of the divine nature. That's huge. That's huge. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Let's read it in the New Living Translation. Do we have that translation at the back? Tell me yes. Okay. Anyway, I'll read it anyway. But this is a different translation. It brings out a little bit more clarity. It says this, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need. Keep in mind that this is flowing on from verse 1 and 2, which talked about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, God. So it's talking about Jesus. When it talks about God, it's talking about Jesus. It's Jesus has given us this power. There's a lot of the Trinity in these verses. Okay, I can't get into it. So think about Jesus is the one that's giving us this power, because it was Jesus that said, I will be with you always, right until the end of the world. Amen? How many are glad about that? Jesus is with us today, 2022, and I'm glad that he is. Because Jesus is with us today and he does what he says he will do, I've got no problems. That's why I'm happy. Amen? I'm happy. I hope that you're happy. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. I want you to repeat those words, by coming to know him. Help me out. By coming to know, so important. By coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence, verse 4, and because of his, glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. This verse is so loaded that I can't run through it and just mention one or two things. There's some stuff there that we need to unpack. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your word. Without your word, we'd be lost. Without your word, we'd be groping around in the dark. Without your word, we'd be foolish. Without your word, we wouldn't know what to do, when to do it. Without your word, there would be no wisdom. Without your word, we'd be completely and utterly destroyed. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the spirit of your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is also our teacher today. And we pray for illumination. We pray for revelation. We pray for an understanding of your word like we've never seen it before. That's our desire today. Let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, I want you to shout amen. Excuse my little cough. I've said it before. It's due to my allergies. Just in case you get it mixed up. Amen. A Christian author by the name of Paul E. Little. Anyone ever heard that name? No? Okay. Quite an old, I don't know whether he's still alive. He may not be still alive. Paul E. Little wrote a book many years ago, which I read many years ago, called Know What You Believe. He followed that up a number of years later by another book called Know Why You Believe. More recently, he wrote a third book which follows on from those that happens to be the title of my message, and I didn't know about it. And I'm telling you, it was amazing to realize that there was a book on it. However, I didn't get it from the book. This time I got it from the Lord. And that's okay with me. Amen? How many think that's a good thing? All right. So I'm going to tell you what it is in just a second. Now, although it's critical for us to know what we believe, and it's also critical for us to know why we believe or why you believe, your Christianity is not contingent on what and why you believe. Your Christianity is contingent and based on who you believe. I don't know if you get that, but this is a one-point sermon. A one-point sermon. You must know who You believe. You must know who. This is emphatic. I'm not suggesting it to you. Your eternity depends on it. My eternity depends on it. We must know, emphasis on know, who we believe. Amen. Shout amen. Verse 3 begins, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need. Everybody say everything. Everything we need for life and for godliness. Two different things. For life and for godliness. Everything you need. It means all things. If you were to look into the Greek, it means everything. It means all things. There's no more to add to all. When you've got it all, you've got everything. His power. And it's not just any power. It's His divine power. In the Greek is dunamis. It's the power, the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, there is no greater power. His power has been granted to you, and He has given you all things by His power in order for you and I to live the life that we need to live and to live the godliness that we need to live. Come on, man. Ah, oh, yes. Let me keep going. Let me keep going. The Apostle Peter here is making a most extraordinary claim. Think about it. It's huge. Everything. Everything. It's audacious. Would you agree? It is ambition. Is it pretentious? No, not at all. It's the Word of God. The last time I looked. It's the Word of God. Everything you need. You see, it's not Peter's word. Although Peter was used by the Holy Spirit to write these words, it's not Peter's words, it's God's words. And if it's God's words, it's yes and amen. Amen. This is God's word. It's not just any word. It's not just a Bible. It's not just a book that's written in history. This is God's word. God's word today, like it was yesterday, is quick and powerful. It's a discerner of the thought, the intents of the heart. God's word is able to know what you are thinking and able to give you the guidance and the wisdom and the power to be able to do what you need to do in order to live a successful Christian life forever. It's God's word. God's word. What is it that you need for life? Do you need a manual? Not Emmanuel, a manual. For marriage success? Everything you need. Do you need wisdom for raising kids? Everything you need. Do you need courage to face opposition? Everything you need. Do you need peace under pressure? Do you need faith in the face of tragedy? Do you need comfort in bereavement? Do you need love when you're feeling alone and vulnerable? Everything you need. Do you need healing when you're wounded? Everything you need. Do you need strength when you're overwhelmed? Everything you need. Everything you need. What do you need? More importantly, where do you get everything you need? How do you get everything you need? Hopefully, I'm going to answer those two questions. What? Where do you get it? And how do you get it? You see, this text, in the first place, alludes to the doctrine of sufficiency. And the tragedy is that too many believers don't know their doctrines. The doctrine of sufficiency has two aspects. There's the sufficiency of Scripture, which means that the Bible has everything we need in order to equip us for a life of faith and service. You don't need anything else outside of the Bible. There's too many voices around the world that say, I need to give you fresh revelation that is not in the Bible. Rubbish. Rubbish. If it's not in the Bible, don't listen. It's false prophets and false apostles. If it's not in the Bible, check it out. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. But listen, everything you need is in the Bible. Sola Scriptura. Okay? It's only the Bible. Only the Word of God. It's only the Word of God that's authoritative. It's only the Word of God that's complete. It's only the Word of God that's inerrant. It's only the Word of God that's sufficient. And you need the Word of God. And when you've got the Word of God, you need nothing else. The sufficiency of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, profitable for report, profitable for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? That the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete. That word complete is perfect. You need nothing else. Perfection. You might be complete because of the Word of God, equipped for every good work. Amen. Praise God. Second part to sufficiency is the sufficiency of Christ. The sufficiency of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:4 and 5 says this, such is the confidence that we have, how? Through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficient is from God. Our sufficiency is in Him. So there's the complete sufficiency of Scripture, and there's the complete or all sufficiency of Christ Himself. Listen, when you've got Christ and the Bible, what else do you need? Because Christ and the Bible, you can't separate them. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was. Yeah. Notice John 15 verse 5, it says this, I am the vine, you're familiar with this, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, the sufficiency of Christ, and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The word do is an important word. Apart from me, Jesus says, the word do is when you do not have the ability or the power to do something. It's very, very important to understand that, because the word do, the absence of power to do something, is the same word that Peter uses when he gives you the power to do something. Without me, you have no power. You cannot do anything. But with me, you have the power to do whatever you need to do. Come on, shout amen. It's scripture with scripture. It's consistent with what the word is saying. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 3, it says this, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. How did God speak? Sometimes audible, sometimes with a fire, sometimes with a voice, sometimes with a sign, sometimes with a miracle, many ways, through many means. Do you need to seek the voice of God in those same ways? I hope you're listening today. Do you need to look for the fire? Do you need to look for the voice or hear the voice audibly? Do you need to see some sign? Do you need to have the miracle? And I'm not against signs, and I'm not against miracles, and I'm not against wonders. I love it all. But is that what you need to be listening out for and looking out for? Listen to me. Humbly, I'm telling you, no. If you're looking for the sign, if you're looking for the miracle, if you're looking for the healing, if you're chasing after those things, you're chasing after those things, and you miss the point.
Because here's what the Bible says to me. This is the way God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, come on, how many know we live in the last days? In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom we also, he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. We've got all the word that we'll ever need in the sufficiency of Scripture and in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ who lives in us. Right there, you should shout amen. You should be jumping on your chair. You should be doing somersaults or something. We could finish there. It's enough. But let me add a little bit more. Listen, if you hear other stuff that is not an echo of what this book is saying and what Jesus has already said, throw it out. I'm telling you because I want good for you. If it's not an echo of the book, if it's not an echo of who Jesus is, let it go. We're going to get back to that some other time. I don't know of any other person, being, or God, there are no other gods anyway, with the credentials of Jesus Christ. He is everything. He is everything. He is everything you need. Everything. All sufficient. So this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1 challenges the way people think regarding their Christianity. It's challenging the way that you think about your Christianity here and now today. How? You see, we tend to compartmentalize our lives. We think in terms of my work life, my career. Then there's my family life. And then there's my leisure life. Then there's my hobby life. Then there's my hopes and dreams, my goals life. Then there's my faith life. But it's not like that. It's not like that. And most Christians would agree, Jesus is all we need for our faith life, but maybe he's not all we need for our normal life. Rubbish. That's not what the Word of God is saying. You cannot, ought not, and you are foolish to compartmentalize your life. It's all about him. We give this time to this and this time to that and this time to that, and we've got all our time organized. Who said it was your time? Don't think in terms of your life, your hobbies, your leisure, your everything. No. It's all his. And until it becomes all his, we won't understand what we're talking about today. Let's go a little deeper. He's all you need in your childhood. And you better understand it, that if you've got young children, you have a huge responsibility to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. It talks about that very, very clearly in Ephesians. There's a huge responsibility there because it's in the first 7-8 years that character formation is formed. And so often, we mess it up at the beginning and try and fix it during the teenage years when they've gone crazy. It's too late. All you need in your developing years, all you need in adolescence, all you need in adulthood, all you need in old age, I'm talking about those people over there. All you need
He's all you need for godliness, his verse tells us. That is the doctrine of sanctification. We're not going to go there. It's a big doctrine. We're not going to go there. In simple terms, this word godliness refers to a life that's centered on God. And the Greek word means to reverence in worship, but not just worship, active worship. In other words, all we need to actively worship in obedience to the Lord. And within the meaning is everything you need in order to be reverent, in order to be holy, in order to be pious, in order to be godly. Everything you need. His divine power has given you. We're going to come back to this later. There's a few things we're going to come back to later. I'm not talking about today, later, other messages. According to Peter, we've been granted God's power in Christ. Give me a good amen. We've been granted his provision, all we need for life and godliness. And now what follows in this same verse is the key to procuring, to getting a hold of the power and getting a hold of the provision. It's one thing to know about it, but it's another thing to have it. Amen? I want you to hang in there because it's important. I'm progressing on this. It's one thing to know about what God has for you and what God has in place for you, and it's another thing to receive it and experience it. So how do you procure it? What's the key? What's the key? Verse 3 tells us, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life, a life of godliness. And then it says, we've received all of this, gives us the answer here, by coming to know him. By coming to know him. Back to where we started. Let's repeat it because our psyche hangs on to some of these words. By coming, louder, by coming to know him. One more time. By coming to know him. Hang on to that thought. I want to flesh it out a little bit more. By coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. How do you get hold of God's power and provision? And in addition, most importantly, salvation. Because this is all about salvation. The answer is, help me out, by, a bit louder, by, emphasis is on the no. By coming, arriving at a knowledge of him. Come on, amen? Amen? I want you to note what this verse is not saying. It's not saying we get saved and with it we get God's power and provision if we believe. Hang in there. It says, through the knowledge of he who called us. Let me say something very, very important. Listen carefully. I wrote this during the week and I want to get it right. Believing must involve knowledge. Or else, you, my friend, or I, for that matter, are not born again. We're not saved. And you will not have Christ's power in you, nor his provision for life, nor his provision for godliness. Believing must involve knowledge. Without it, no life, no godliness. Think about it.
Pastor Reed, please explain. Somebody said, through the knowledge of him who called us. What does that mean? Through the knowledge of him who called us. Because that's all important, right? Let me just explain it. And then I want to come to a climax of this message. And I want to add something in there that will save your marriage. And if your marriage is great, it'll make it better. I want you to get ready for it. And if you're not married, how to have the best marriage. I'll throw it in a bit later on. There's two Greek words for knowledge among other variations, but two important ones. One is the word gnosis, which means to know. It's a general knowledge term. And the scripture uses that in many parts. The second word is the word epignosis, which is the word that's been used here. To know him. Through knowing him, you get what he is giving you. And the word means to have deep, intimate knowledge. To personally or to properly know something through personal experience. That's different. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to experience something and then know it. All important. Our eternity depends on it. It's the key. It's the key. What is being referred to is intimate communion with or a true personal knowledge of Christ, without which you do not belong to him, even though you may think you do. It is this person who knows him who will receive, with that knowledge, the power of Christ in everything you need for life and the power of Christ in every provision that you need to go with it. Come on, say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. How many are familiar with that? Sermon on the Mount talks about Christian living through the eyes of Jesus. Towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus cautions us against false prophets who he said are going to come among you like wolves in sheep's clothing. In other words, they're going to look like sheep, but they're not. They're going to sound like sheep, but they're not. They appear to be sheep, but they're not. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. So that's the context of it. Then in verse 21, chapter Matthew 7, 21, there's one of the scariest passages in Scripture. You want to be scared out of your pants? This scares me. Let me read it for you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many, the word many is a huge amount. It doesn't give us or specify a figure. It can't. The word many is great numbers. We're not talking about a few. Great numbers, Jesus said. Listen, Jesus said it. What did he say? In that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Verse 23,
And I, Jesus, will declare to them, the people that prophesied, the people that cast out the demons, and the people that did mighty works. I will say to them, Jesus said, depart. Declare to me, I'm going the other way around. I will declare to them, here's the words, I never knew you. Can you see the pattern? I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. That's a scary passage of scripture. And I'm glad that he is the judge, not me. Amen? Because if we were to judge, we wouldn't know how to judge righteously. But he is the righteous judge. He knows how to decipher truth from error. Okay? And don't read into it what I'm not telling you. Just because a person is used in signs and wonders doesn't mean they're not saved and they're not born again like this suggests. However, many that are saying it and seem to be doing it, are not the real deal. That to me talks about gross deception, which is the number one sign of the last days, deception. And the Bible cautions us, do not be deceived. So the onus is on you and me not to become deceived. And the way that you don't become deceived is if you follow carefully and closely the word of the Lord. Come on, shout amen. Come on, give me a wave. All right. We're coming to a climax, like I said. Just bear with me. You see, you must know who you believe. You must know who you believe. Not only believe and not only recognize, but you must know. Hear my heart, not just my words. We've made Jesus more about what than who. Until we made the central focus of our Christianity who, we will miss the what. If you miss the what, beg your pardon, the who, you will forfeit the what. A healthy fear of God is all about the who. Let me repeat that. A healthy fear of God, and by fear I'm talking about awe and reverence and honor. Okay? Respect of God. The only way that you'll have a healthy fear of God is if you know the who. Otherwise, you will not have any fear of God. In marriage, listen up, people. I'm going to talk about it from the perspective of a man, but it's equally as important from the perspective of a woman. In marriage, love, honor, respect, value, the who, and you'll get all the what that you need. Let me repeat that. In marriage, Pastor Maori, if you will love, honor, and respect the person, the who, sitting right next to you, you'll get all the want that you will ever need. When you focus on the what, you cheapen your relationship with the potential of losing it completely. What is she? Well, she's a woman. I'm glad she's a woman. And the men said, so what is she? She's a woman. She's a wife. She's a friend.
She's a mother. She's a cook. She's a confidant. She's a helper. She is a carer, among other things. Men, listen, listen, listen. We have a tendency to go after the what she is and forget the who to our own detriment. Go after the who. Love, respect, honor, and value the who that you married. The what will look after itself. Maturity in marriage comes when it's more about her than you. And in the loss of you, you gain more of her. And in doing so, you become enriched by the unity that the relationship brings. You need to hear this again and again and again. Marriage is a reflection of our relationship with God. In your spirituality, Christianity, maturity comes when it's less about you and it's more about Him. Amen. Less about who you are and more about who He is. And it's there. It's there in that place where you surrender your who for His who that you begin to discover what it means to become conformed to the image of Jesus. When you love, honor, and respect the who, out of that genuine love comes genuine service. Listen to me. You serve who you love, and you love who you serve. When true love is lacking towards the who, it's replaced by the expectation and demand of the what. We got it all wrong. There's a couple that I knew many years ago that I'm finishing up. Many years ago. Normal couple, normal family. The wife was a housewife, homemaker. The husband was a plumber. Traditional family values, which are not bad in themselves, but that can be overboard. So the husband would go out to work. The wife would work at home. He comes home at, let's say, 4 o'clock. And from what I was told, he would expect his slippers at the door. He'd sit down and expect a cup of tea or coffee. And for the rest of the night, be served hand and foot. Because his day and his responsibility was done. Everything else is up to you, my darling. They are no longer married. He got all this wrong. He wanted all the what without the who. Second Peter chapter 2 verse 3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. How do you get this knowledge? Good question. Next time we're going to tell you the answer. And next time will not be next week. Next week we've got another wonderful preacher. I'm taking a few days off, but I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here anyway. So I'm taking a few days away, but I'm going to be here next week. Pastor Mo is going to bring the Word of God. So I'm going to be here. I'm not going to miss it. Week after, I'm going to give you the answer. How do you get this knowledge? Because it begins with regeneration, conversion, in a true sense, and it includes repentance. So I'm not going to get into all those terms, but I'm going to tell you what they mean, okay? I'm going to tell you why I don't believe in spontaneous baptism. What's that? When people front up a church and after the message decide to get baptized, or they just feel like getting baptized and the baptism is ready and they dunk them there and then. Just last week, some church somewhere was baptizing three people at the beach. But instead of baptizing three, there was another three in the crowd that decided they wanted to get baptized as well. I'm going to tell you why I don't believe in that sort of baptism, consistent with what we've been talking about. How do you get to know him? And how do you know that you know him? Well, the Bible tells us that there's evidences and fruit. So we're going to have a look at some of that fruit. Is that okay? Let's get this right. We need to get it right once and for all. You need to get it right once. I need to get it right. Our eternity depends on it. What's the focus of this knowledge? We're going to get that right next week as well. We've started that today. But it tells us about his glory and his excellence. You see, here's a hint. The focus of this knowledge is not you. The focus of this knowledge is him. So we're going to put the spotlight on Jesus next week. And the other question that we're going to answer is, what's the benefit of his knowledge? Verse 4 talks about precious, great promises and partaking of the divine nature. Hey, it's all in there. And so we're going to unpack that next time. Amen. Are you doing good? Let me pray for you. Let's stand. Why don't you raise a hand to the Lord? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the rich wisdom of your word that touches every area, every phase, every part, every period of life, both in a physical sense, in a normal, natural sense, and also in the spiritual sense. So, Lord, we stand today on the sufficiency of your word and the all-sufficiency of Christ himself. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that these thoughts that we've heard today, not just thoughts of a man and put together throughout the voice of a man, I pray, Lord, that you take those words, take those thoughts, take those phrases and activate them in our own lives and experience. I pray your blessing upon your people
as we seek after you for your glory this week. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's just worship for a few minutes before we go.